Jesus has a job description for those who want to go to heaven. This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Tuesday. Cast your cares upon the Lord because He cares for you. If you believe that, you take a deep breath in and you just sigh, yes, the Lord cares for me. I don't have to face the challenges of life by myself. When I am really at the end of my ropes and I let go, Jesus will catch me. He holds me in His arms like the good shepherd. You remind yourself of what Isaiah says, if it's possible for a mother to forget the child of her womb, God will never forget us because He's carved us on the palm of His hand. What a way to take on a Tuesday, huh? Believing that God cares for you. If you're going to the doctors, if you're going to look for a job, if you're going to babysit your children, if you have to go to the bank and get a loan, if you have to face something scary today, to keep saying, God cares for me. I can cast my cares upon the Lord. That's right from St. Peter's letter, the inspired word of God. Well, our scripture passage today comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, verses 1 to 4. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus called a little child and had him stand among them. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. All right. So what does it mean to become like a little child so that we can enter the kingdom of heaven? Now, Jesus says in this scripture passage, unless you change. Well, there was a time we were a little child. Now we've grown up. We've become adults. And often when you become adult, you can become jaded. You become cynical. You can become bitter. You can live quiet lives of desperation. You can become resentful. You can start despairing. I'm not saying every adult's like that, but those are the real temptations, huh? Those are the real things that can happen to adults. I've seen it happen. In my many, many years of priesthood, I've seen it happen. And I've been around long enough to see the transition that happens when a child starts growing up. And when life beats you up, and sometimes life can hit you so hard in the stomach, punch you hard in the stomach, you can hardly catch your breath. When the disappointments come, when your family is not there for you the way you want them to be there for you. When you never get married, although you wanted to be married. When your spouse dies young. When you find yourself never being able to have children. When you lose your job after a long period of year. I mean, we can go through a whole litany of things that happen to people as they grow up and move through their senior years. And because of all those things, there is the real danger, and it is a danger, of cynicism, despair, bitterness, depression. So I think Jesus is saying that's where the change has to come from. We have to get back to some of those things, and we were all like this when we were a child, that characterizes the child. Let's look at some of those things. Number one, joy. Little children laugh a lot. They laugh, they giggle, they're just filled with joy. And hand in hand with joy goes enthusiasm. They're just filled with enthusiasm. You know, they can get so excited about the most simple gift. Well, you've seen them in a high chair in a playpen. They can take keys and play for hours with keys and watch the keys rattle or a bright light or a ball. or some type of a toy that moves. If you've been around children, to see the joy and the enthusiasm that comes from the most simple pleasure. And then there's the trust, and I'm sure this is what Jesus was zeroing in on when he told us that we have to become like little children if we're going to enter the kingdom of God. They have an inherent trust in their parents. They do. Actually, they do with all adults at a certain time in their life before they become very, very shy and cautious. You've seen them. I've experienced it. You can reach down, a little child will take your hand and start walking with you. They have that kind of trust. And that's the kind of trust we have to have in God. We have to trust God when we're not sure how our life is going to unfold. We're not sure how this sickness is going to be resolved. How this marital problem, how this problem with the child, how I'm going to handle the fact that right now I'm out of work. We trust God. Right? What do I say every Tuesday? Cast your cares upon the Lord because He cares for you. That's how you trust God. If there's no risk, there's no faith. We risk. What's the risk? Because we can't see, hear, or touch God. God doesn't give us, at the beginning of our adulthood, a printout of everything that's going to happen to us and how God's going to write straight with crooked lines, how He's going to make sense out of the nonsense, how He's going to take the illogical and make it theological. That's fundamentally something that we have to return to as an adult. We're to be childlike, not childish. And that childlike trust in our Father who art in heaven, who takes care of the lilies of the fields and the sparrows, He's going to take care of us. Now, there's another characteristic of childhood that I think is very, very important, is that, have you noticed, children don't hold grudges. They may momentarily be upset with their parents. They may momentarily be upset with their friends. But soon they're playing with their friends again. And soon they're once again laughing with their parents, trusting their parents. Now, one of the real dangers of the senior years is holding grudges. You know, I remember a lady telling me that when she prays the Our Father, she always skips the sentence in the prayer that says, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Because she doesn't want to forgive somebody. Or I told her all the sentences in the Our Father need to be said. None of them are optional. You can't skip anything. And yet she doesn't want to forgive. Well, her going to heaven is seriously endangered by her lack of forgiveness. Let me ask you, dear listener, do you hold grudges? Remember Paul's definition of love? Love is patient, love is kind, love is never jealous, it's not rude, it's not self-seeking, it's not prone to anger, nor does it brood over injuries. Holding grudges involves brooding over injuries. God doesn't want that. He wants us to forgive. Reconciliation is another whole topic. Forgiveness involves the past, reconciliation involves the future. But children have the ability to forgive and get on with life. It's like they don't want to be weighed down by the burden of the grudge. It keeps them from being lighthearted. It keeps them from being playful. It keeps them from really being able to run with ease. There's a lesson there for us, is there not? And the last characteristic that I want to point out to you about a child is the child's ability to pray with humility. I mean, sometimes the prayer of a child brings tears to a parent's eye, to an adult's eye. When they say, "Please, God, let Grandma get better. Please, God, let my puppy be fond. Please, God, bless my daddy so he can get a job." I mean, they pray with great sincerity and great humility. "Please forgive me." How they say that, just the way they say, "Please forgive me," it's done with great humility. Do you pray? Do you pray much? Do you pray sincerely? Do you pray with humility? Do you hand over your prayers to God with great trust, or is there scratch marks on the prayers you're holding on so tight to them? Because you really want your will to be done instead of God's will be done. You know, and children might not be able to say all the words of a prayer clearly and concisely and accurately, but they certainly know how to pray with great trust and sincerity and with humility. And I think that's what God's calling us to. If we want to get to heaven, we have to become like little children. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. Here it is again from today's passage. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, isn't that food for thought for each of us? Our prayer partners today are psychologists. Yesterday it was psychiatrists. Today, psychologists, because psychologists will do the counseling part. Psychiatrists, little counseling, but more medicating, working out perhaps even in-house type of programs for therapy. Psychologists, they're on the front line, along with counselors. They're often will be giving the tests to try to ascertain what's the best type of therapy that's needed. Pray for them, okay? Here's today's food for thought. It comes from a man named Joseph Epstein. This is good. He writes, "The snob's error is to put good taste before a good heart." You know, because sometimes snobs can be very biting and hurting because another person doesn't live up to their standards. Okay, see if I can make you smile or laugh. This is good. What's the difference between an outlaw and an in-law? Well, the difference is outlaws are wanted. So would you like to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Just drop me a note. Tell me you listened to the program, what you like about the program, any particular topics you'd like me to deal with on the program. You can always send me your prayer intentions. I take them seriously to prayer. I storm heaven with you and for you. I will be your prayer partner, your prayer warrior. If you want to get my newsletter is also named like the name of this program, Joyful Reflections. It comes out 6 times a year. There's no charge for it. Tells you where I'm preaching. And that's important sometimes because people have said, well, I'd like to see you in person. You have such a young voice. I want to see what you look like. Where are you preaching? I want my relatives and friends to maybe hear you. That's how you find out, by getting my newsletter. Also, you know, I had this hospital for the very, very poor in Oaxaca, Mexico. I named it after my mother, the Ana Sitar Hospital. We charge hardly anything because the people are poor. Can you give me a donation to keep my hospital open? I'm begging, but we Franciscans beg. You can make it out to TASH, T-A-S-H, send it to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy.
Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore thee.